Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Movies, television, video games.
I checked my email, like after like 2 weeks, I had like 101 messages, 90% of them was porn.
Yeah, I have used the internet. Every time you go on, stuff just pops up. You just gotta be careful, watch out for it.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, if you're a parent, you know how sex and sexual images have become an extremely powerful influence in our culture today, and there are all kinds of sexual images in the media, and unfortunately, many of them are giving your kids all sorts of bad information about how to deal with sex and sexuality. As a parent, I'm sure you're aware of the strong sexual current that seeks to damage and destroy our kids today. It's so strong that we can easily feel helpless to do anything about it. Well, not so, says my guest today. She's national abstinence educator, Lakita Garth. And she's here again today to equip us with the tools to help our kids fight against the current. So stay tuned to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
What you're about to hear is a program that is geared more for parents than it is for young children. In fact, if you have any kids listening with you right now, you might want to go straight to our website at homeward.com so you can review the program on your own.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, helping your kids stay sexually pure. It's actually a two-part. We're talking with Lakita Garth, one of my favorite people. She's just well-known for speaking to kids about the benefits of sexual abstinence. She has appeared on numerous television programs promoting sexual purity. Actually, when Politically Incorrect was on, Lakita, mm-hmm. I saw you. You were the one person standing for abstinence. Everybody else was talking about do it and do it whenever you want. And yet, I think you won the conversation. Welcome back to the program and tell us about being on programs where you're kind of the one lone voice for sexual abstinence.
Well, I'm telling you, you will be the lone voice if you go out there these days. And I'm glad I can come on your show because at least I know you're with me. And all the millions out there driving around in their cars or listening at home. It's very true. You don't get to hear a message of sexual purity by just turning, flip it on the TV and, right. and just reliable, hey, I'm going to go listen to this person speak. I've probably been on Politically Incorrect probably like 24 times. You know, I was on the show the night the Lewinsky-Clinton scandal broke. I was on there the night Ellen DeGeneres came out of the closet. I ended up debating Marilyn Manson. It was just a lot of different things that they would bring me on. The interesting thing is that one of the times I was on the show, Bill approached me and he said, you know, of all the times you've been on my show, I've only had the panel stacked evenly once. And I'm like, tell me something I don't already
exactly.
know. Okay, seriously, thank you. And so, you know, there are lots of opportunities for Christians outside of media to get their voice heard, but it's very hard to get your voice heard in the mainstream right. media when it comes to this message because it's so bombarded with the opposite message.
Isn't it interesting? It is. Now, you started receiving some national recognition after being named runner-up to Miss Black America. What kind of reaction did you get when you began to use that platform to promote abstinence and sexual purity?
You know what? People couldn't believe it because one of the expectations that people have when you have an abstinence speaker come in, or at least used to be, is someone, you know, who's kind of unattractive, someone who's their grandma or their parent coming in, and you're given the expectation they're supposed to say that. So they kind of put them in the category of their teacher or their parent. So therefore, they drown them out. But, you know, at that time, you know, it was different. I think I was one of the first beauty queens who went out. There was Tara Dawn Christensen. I think I was definitely one of the first to come out with that platform very vocally, you know, giving a very clear sound, talking about abstinence. And it really opened up doors. I mean, of all of my accomplishments, that's the least of my accomplishments, but it's the one that people remember the most. And I find that if we who believe in this message will begin to voice how we feel about the information and the images that are put out there, things can change.
Well, let's talk about the images that are put out there. I mean, kids today are bombarded with all kinds of sexual images on television, movies, music. Talk for a minute about even the chemical reaction that happens in the brain that kind of stores these images. I mean, help a parent understand that.
Well, what you're alluding to is more specifically when it comes to pornography in males. And people don't realize the power of pornography. Right now, if you're not aware of this, but there's a huge battle going on with the FCC in relation to images just being downloaded on cell phones of pornography. And of course, kids today are just attached. It's like it's another limb sticking out of their arm is their iPod or their cell phone or some other electronic device. Most adults are not even aware of this. And they're doing this because it becomes highly addictive. It's kind of like how cigarette companies, they had to make a law that they couldn't advertise to younger people because they knew that if we can get you addicted at a younger age, we'll have you the rest of your life. Well, the same applies to pornography, particularly in males. What happens is that the eye gate, you know, we also have also heard it said that the eyes are the windows to your soul. And our soul is comprised of mind, will, and emotions. And we need to watch what goes in our eye gate. Because whatever is watched, there are chemicals that are released and it hits a spot in the brain called the preoptic medial nucleus. Obviously, that word optic is where we get optical, you know, your eye from what you see. And these chemicals are released and whatever is seen is recorded at that time. And, you know, this is why, you know, men tend to remember things, you know, like what color clothes, the perfume, you know, they can remember intimate details much better than women when it comes to those heightened sexual experiences. And also, it's the same kind of experiences when men who have Vietnam flashbacks, they liken it to that. They have these very vivid dreams. It's like they're reliving it again. And pornography, what happens is these images are cemented and they begin to accumulate a file that comes along with that.
And in many ways, your mind takes a picture of it.
In the ancient days, the greatest punishment for a king was not to kill him, but it was to execute and defile his family in front of him and just put his eyes out. So that would be the last thing he saw, so that he would be in torment watching it over and over and over again in his mind.
Well, what do you say to the girls who love listening to you, but they may be dressed incredibly scantily? The other day, and we were talking about this off air, I was speaking to students, and I was looking out at a couple of the students, and I thought, my goodness. And yet, I honestly didn't know if they knew that it was sensual or not. And here they are at a conference with, you know, several thousand
other
boys.
To be honest with you, Jim, most of the girls, particularly the younger ones, don't know. To them, it's a fashion statement. And I could say I was one of those. I wasn't thinking about sex. I wasn't none of that. And I always wondered, why doesn't my mom let me wear what I want to wear? Because I had no clue that what it did as far as, you know, raising sexual interest in males, because women are not stimulated by sight. Men are stimulated by sight. That's why 95% of all pornography is purchased by guess who? By men. And therefore, most girls, younger girls, don't have a clue. But as they grow into their femininity, grow into their womanhood, they begin to understand the power of how they dress. And if you really think, you know, some of these girls walk around with a skirt so short, it's a belt, okay? And if you think that this really cute see-through skirt is going to draw attention to your cute smile and your wonderful personality, you've got another thing coming. And really only another guy can really tell a girl that it's not looking, it's not drawing attention to you. He's just looking at what you're displaying. And so, you know, I basically tell girls all the time, I ask, why do prostitutes dress the way they do? They dress to attract attention. You never see a prostitute wearing a Laura Ashley dress. So if you don't want that kind of attention, don't advertise. My biggest problem is, again, the parents. Because like I said in your first show, and if you didn't hear the first show, I recommend that you find a way to get that first program. We were talking about how most of the time, the problem is not the kids, it's the parents. And if you have 14, 15, 16-year-old girls walking around looking like prostitutes, you know, my question is, where did they get the clothes? Okay, they don't have jobs. Obviously, mom or dad bought them the clothes. And also, you have to be under the realization that your kids, if you've bought a couple of outfits like this, guess what? They're stuffing them in their purses, taking them to school, changing into them, and then, you know, they're proceeding with a double life. You've got to be on top of your kids.
Very important stuff. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Lakita Garth. We're talking about helping your kids stay sexually pure. More to come.
Good conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. We are listening to an interview that was recorded actually a couple of years ago featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Lakita Garth. And at the time, Lakita really had a powerful ministry because here was a woman who was a beauty queen. She was runner-up in Miss Black California a few years back and was very, very adamant about her maintaining her sexual purity before she got married. She's maintained that now that she is a married woman and has a very, very happy and vibrant marriage with she and her husband. Still a very powerful voice for sexual purity. And the resources that we have at homeward.com are resources that you will want to check out. If you're not online with us right now, you just Wander through the Pure Foundation series that Dr. Jim Burns has put together. Kids of all ages will benefit, and so will parents, too, when you visit homeword.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Lakita Garth, helping your kids stay sexually pure. This is part two of a two-part conversation that has been absolutely wonderful. In fact, I'm going to sit down with my girls. I have three girls, and we're going to listen to this together because it's just so, so helpful. A lot of kids talk about peer pressure, Lakita. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact does peer pressure have on a kid who's wondering whether or not to be sexually active?
Well, peer pressure, according to teens, is the number one reason they give for not just getting involved with sexual activity, but also drug activity, gang violence, juvenile delinquency. You know, your friends are in the store, you know, grab that, you know, the manager's not looking. And they feel this pressure. Should I? Shouldn't I? Am I going to get caught? And you can almost feel it going back when you're a kid. In your mind, there are certain circumstances where kids are trying to get you to do things. But one of the biggest barriers that are going to help you prevent peer pressure is called the parent. One more time, it's the parent. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, you know, the reality was is that growing up, we were more afraid of our mom than the ridicule of our friends. We grew up in a community in Southern California. Money Magazine said it was one of the most dangerous places in America to live and the worst place to raise kids. And my mom, being a single parent after my father passed away, raised myself and four older brothers who were very big boys. And like we said in the first show, she did the three things that a parent must do. She stated, what are the rules? Who's in charge? And will they be enforced? And when those three things are established, as they were in my house, we were more concerned not just with the punishment, but the disapproval and the disappointment of my mom and my father when he was alive. That peer pressure, it existed, but it was significantly diminished.
In many ways, what you're saying is that peer pressure's there, but when you have a strong, powerful relationship with a parent, it's going to be more affected by your parent than it is by peers.
Absolutely.
Because what we hear is that kids are now more affected by peers. It's because, frankly, the parents are given over the responsibility to friends and movies and every, you know, other kind of way. Now, interesting enough, when you grew up and you talk about this, so I can say this on mm-hmm. radio, you talk about growing up, graduated from USC, the wonderful school here in Southern California, Trojans, yes, beautiful runner-up Miss Black America, and yet you've remained sexually pure. You're just about ready to get married, and as you get married, you know, as a young adult, you've been sexually pure. Do you know many people who did this?
Actually, I do.
Wonderful.
And the reason why is because I surround myself with people who have like morals and like standards. And that is going to be the second thing that a parent needs to provide for their kids. It starts with the parent and the parental expectations. And not just, I want you to do this because I want you to do this. I want you to do this because, you know, there's something in the long run. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell this story. My mom, when I was little, we had to watch the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. I know people think it's called Ten Suggestions, but the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston every year around Easter. And when it was over, she turned off the television set and she stood in front. She said, you know, I may not be able to hear everything you say all the time or see everything you do, but God is watching you. And one day we're going to go to heaven and I'm going to read that book. And if I didn't get you down here, I'm going to get you up there. Okay. So she understood.
This is a powerful woman.
Yeah. You have to see my mom sometime. You know, mom, you know, she'll be on her best behavior when she meets you for the first time. But let me tell you, she's a character herself. But there were certain things that were put into motion. When she said, be in the house when the street lights come on. And there's some of you in the community, you may not have street lights. Okay. You might be out in the country or whatever. But that's a big rule in the city. We understood three things about why mom said, come in the house when the streetlights come on. Number one, because she loved us. Number two, she didn't want us to get hurt. And three, because there was something better. When your kids begin to understand that every rule you put into place is because, number one, you love them. Two, you don't want them to get hurt. And three, there's something better, which goes back to the beginning. Sex is good. Sex is not dirty. Sex is not evil. It's not bad. It's good. It's a good thing. And you should wait to have the best sex by doing it later. When you present that and that becomes their grid, then they will see these external forces as something that will prevent them from getting the best in life. So you as a parent, need to provide that. And then secondly, like we said in the first show, provide boundaries. And one of them is help them and introduce them to other kids that have like standards. I myself, when I was in college, I had a roommate. When I had a roommate in college, she became a Christian. I led her to the Lord a week after I got saved. And we enforced our own curfew. We decided amongst ourselves, we're going to have our own curfew, our own standards. And every single girl that we, you know, befriended as freshmen became the very things they hated by the time they graduated. When I got out of college, the same thing. Every roommate that I had, I made sure that we had like standards and like morals. So there are lots of people who are waiting, who are virgins, who had a past, changed their mind, and now they're trying to live that lifestyle, and they're out there. But you really need to emphasize that bad character corrupts good morals.
Yeah, you know, it's great. I thought you were going to go another way. I thought you were going to say everybody's doing it. But in reality, everybody isn't doing it, because mm-hmm. there are people who are choosing to take on this biblical standard, and they're choosing to be sexually pure. And I don't hear anybody regretting that.
No.
I hear a lot of people regretting that they lived a promiscuous life in high school or college or before they got married.
Yes.
But I don't hear anybody saying, gosh, I just wish I could have experimented like crazy before I got married.
Exactly.
What do you say to that kid who says, you know what, that may be fine and well for you, but, you know, I've already had sex and or I've really been experimenting almost to going all the way. And, you know, I don't have a sexually transmitted disease and I'm not pregnant.
Well, that is lie in truth's clothing number two and the curriculum that I have coming out and been working on for the past 5 years. Lie in truth's clothing number two is it can't happen to me. One of the things that has allowed people to deceive that are, one, you don't see it in the media. And the reality is that, you know, before a child reaches the age of 17, they will have seen 40,000 acts of sex on television or on media, which they will see more sex than they will ever have, basically, you know. And so they have this false expectation of, you know, you can just have sex whenever, wherever, but you can also have it and never have any consequences. When I ask the kids, what are soap operas you guys are watching? And they'll yell out, you know, Days of Our Miserable Lives, or, you know, Misguiding Light, you know, All My Illegitimate Children. You know, they'll always yell out General Hospital. And I ask, okay, General Hospital. Let's look at this here. General Hospital. It goes on in and around a hospital. Okay. Half of the sexually active single adult population has at least one STD right now. Okay. Right. Abortion is now the most surgically performed procedure in America today. Not grandma's cataracts. Okay. And not an extreme makeover. It's an abortion. Why is it I've yet to see that on General Hospital?
Fascinating.
And then they think about it. Then I go and I basically tell them, we went through a long list of all the STDs and the prevalence of all of these different consequences. They don't see them, because some of these things people have, you don't see. So when they say it can't happen to me, we know that's a lie, but it's in truth's clothing because it's not presented to them in a realistic way. One of the also negative things about the media in regards to its influence is that they believe lying truth's clothing number five. Everybody's doing it. Well, everybody's not doing it. When I started speaking on abstinence as a college student, it was like 75% of students was reported by Diane Sawyer on a primetime special on ABC called The End of Innocence, that 75% of high school students had engaged in sexual activity by the time they graduated. It's less than a decade later. Associated Press reports that 45% of high school students had engaged in sexual activity. That is a huge drop from 75 to 45% in less than 10 years. So the majority of the students in America are graduating virgins. You don't see that on Dawson's Creek, the OC, you know, on some of these movies, the teen movies that are coming out. You don't see that. Virginity is mocked. It's ridiculed. And very, very rarely is it esteemed as something that is desirable.
Everybody isn't doing it. And I think one of the great reasons, because people like you, Lakita, are telling kids the truth. So thank you so much
thank
for being with
so
us.
Thank you so much.
I hope our listeners go and get this copy of the CD along with myself, because I'm going to do it.
We're going to
talk about it with our kids, and we're going to talk about how we can help our kids make right and wise decisions. Thank you for your passion. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding. And we
love
pray
to come back and be a guest.
We will have you again
you.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with the now recently married Lakeeta Garth. And we've been talking about making the sexual purity of your kids a priority. If you missed any part of this program, remember we are streaming audio at homeward.com. If you're listening on terrestrial radio right now, like one of our fine affiliates like KWIL in Albany, Oregon, and you want to go back and revisit the program again, just go to homeward.com, hit the archives, and you'll be able to check out any of our Monday through Friday programs via podcast or archiving that way. And Jim, this is a conversation that we know parents are going to want to listen to again and again because the information is so very, very helpful. And yet, the practical part of Lakeeta Garth's ministry is also very just right there in front of you.
She is blunt. She is transparent, but she's also unashamedly Christian. And I appreciate that in Lakeeta. And I think that's the kind of conversation that I really want to model for parents because that's the kind of conversation we need to have with our kids.
Jim, in these closing moments, there's a phrase that you've used before when it comes to kids and sexuality. I wonder if you'd kind of revisit that for us and unpack it a little bit, talking about kids making decisions in the sexual arena based on their emotional makeup at certain ages. They're making decisions they're really not able to handle.
Well, oftentimes I will tell parents, and frankly, I'll also tell kids, that kids make sexual decisions based on three things. One is peer influence or the pressure to conform. It's not easy today on campus. Secondly, and this is where you're going, is kids are making decisions based on emotions that exceed their maturity level. I mean, let's face it, you show me a 14-year-old girl, I'll pick on a young girl, could be a guy, who is in love and emotionally totally involved with some guy, well, she's easily seduced sexually. Their emotions exceed their maturity level. It's just hard for them to say no. And also, why we're doing a program like this is because kids are making major decisions based on a lack of information. Well, I'm trying to still wrap my mind around the statistic that Lakeeta threw out today that says that by the time a kid is 17 years old, they will have seen 40,000 acts of sex or sexual innuendo in the media. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Well, how in the world will our kids be able to stay committed to sexual purity when they're exposed to so much sex in the media? The only way our kids are going to be able to fight against this strong current of sexuality in our culture, I think, is for us as parents to fight with them. Here's a couple of ways. One is I believe we have to pray hard. I mean, we've got to pray for our kids, pray with our kids often. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:12 that the battle is not one that can be fought on our own strength, but rather the battle is spiritual and can only be fought through the power of the Lord. So pray hard and pray often. Also, talk with your kids. The Bible constantly says that we are, as parents, there to talk with our kids. And not talk at our kids, but talk with our kids, dialogue with our kids, but give them the kind of information. Kids make sexual decisions based on lack of information. So it's important to make this a part of our conversation. I mean, if you don't have a relationship where you can talk with your teen or preteen, then improving the relationship needs to be the number one priority so that you can have those kinds of conversations. It is possible to make sexual purity a priority with your kids. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work, obviously, on the kids, but obviously it's going to take some work from parents. And we need to get all the resources we can get, all the help we can get. And Roger, I know you've got some information on how they can at least get some of the resources we're offering.
Well, we've been talking, Jim, about our Pure Foundation series that you put together a couple of years ago. It's a very, very comprehensive body of work here that really helps kids and parents, the kids of all ages. We've got books for kids ages 3 to 4 and 5, another book for kids ages 6, 7, and 8, and even into the 9-year-old world. The Purity Code book, of course, is perfect for middle school, the kind of early adolescence, years of 10 to 13, and then Accept Nothing Less, which is kind of the Purity Code for high school kids. All of those books make up the Pure Foundation series, and the capstone book is the one for parents called Teaching Your Children Healthy Sexuality. Get that one first. And also, there's one that comes available with an audio CD that features Jim and me having conversation with other experts in this field, talking about ways that we could be proactive in teaching our kids about healthy sexuality. All of those resources are available for purchase in our online resource center at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.